Beginners, Episode 8. JFK and Craig Frank.
It's recording.
Okay.
Yeah, so I almost feel like saying welcome back, Craig Frank, because we just recorded quite a long time with no connection to
about
the microphone.
3 hours.
It wasn't that much, was it? Well, I hope not. Yes, welcome, Craig Frank. You're a director in animation, and you are also an American.
Yes.
And you've just started your first graphic novel project called JFK Special Ops.
Yes.
And you're an American, but here we are in your office in Copenhagen,
yeah,
where you live.
Yes.
So my first question to you is, why?
Why?
Why are you here?
Why Denmark? First, before I go, it's the title's JFK Secret Ops. Oh,
I got it wrong the first time,
small,
too.
Yeah,
yeah,
small details, no big deal. why Denmark? Is when I was studying in the States, I went to an art school, and there were some exchange students, and it was the first time I met some Europeans, and of course there was a beautiful Danish girl that I met. And lo and behold, we became a nice couple and for a while, and I visited her in Denmark and traveled around Europe with her, and I thought it was great. And I went back to the States for a while in Dallas and decided, hey, I had something going real good there in Denmark. I was actually selling some of my illustration work. At that time, the late 80s, it was bizarre. It was this airbrush look.
Oh,
it was real photorealistic.
Yeah.
And I really could do that quite easily because it was something that it was excellent. Just copy, and I mean, you just get some nice photos or nice things, or I mean, in this airbrush, it was fun work. It really was almost like graffiti. Or, anyway, and then I had worked freelance as an illustrator in Denmark, and I came back to Denmark after a while for Dallas, but the relationship with the girl didn't work out. I stuck around for a little bit, and then I met another Danish girl. Wonderful thing.
The streets are full of them.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. As we said before, exports. Danish pastries and Danish women.
Yeah.
They go well together, really.
Okay.
Anyway, so I stuck around, and wonderful thing. I've got Danish children. I've got two boys, and I start and really enjoy the life here. So that's how it's worked out. And then I first worked into the advertising business because I was working on the working in these illustrations. And then I got a full-time job in some of the advertising agencies and the different large ones in Denmark. And I jumped from one to the other.
Mm.
And then I had an opportunity to go into animation, to direct commercials, animated commercials. And that I felt like I was at home. It was a great jump for me to jump into that branch.
From illustration to animation.
Advertising and then to animation.
Right.
So it was because of the background that I've had with art and painting and drawing and sculpture and everything like that. Animation was just almost all these mediums that you just bring into film. So it was an easy jump for me, so and I loved it completely. But it is a real interest when you think about it. I'm not that young anymore, but when you do think about it, go back and say, why didn't I do this much earlier? But it's still I had to make this jump.
Right.
And as you said,
sometimes you take the long way around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And now you're making a new jump because you just started this graphic novel project.
Yes.
JFK. Secret.
Secret. That's
secret.
A secret. That title's a secret, man.
Right.
Yes, that jump is it's pretty amazing because I've always wanted to do a graphic novel,
mm-hmm.
and I have a lot of ideas written down, and I hadn't really started on them visually, but I have had the ideas written down. What happened was I was working on a film idea. For about 4 years here in Denmark, we've got the wonderful system, which is the Danish Films
Institute,
sorry.
Right.
That financially supports films.
Right.
And the disadvantage is it sometimes can take a long time to get your film finance. Actually, it's that way all over the world. But this took around 4 years, and it was a wonderful film about existentialism for young people called Nothing in Danish. It was a fantastic book for young people. This is, it's got to be made. It's perfect for
Was you attached as a director? Or
and I was going to be the director, and I talked to the owner of the book, the writer, and she liked the idea, and I had a producer involved, and Danish Film Institute actually did give us money to make a pilot and everything, but we just couldn't agree on the visual, the look of the film, which is a shame because we wrote the whole manuscript and everything, got together with a manuscript writer, and we've got a great manuscript. But it took all this, if you can imagine, 4 years, and it finally got dropped.
Right.
The films to decide they're not going to go any further, and they're going to cancel the project. And right then I said, shit, let's go 4 years down the drain. I can't get angry. I'm going to do a graphic novel. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work on this, and I'm going to work alone on it, and this is how it's going to be. I don't shit about all these people. I'm going to do this, and this is, you know, and actually it was that motivated me that I really had to do something creative, and it's going to be on my own. Nobody's going to say yes or no to this project.
Right.
And that is why I wanted to Kickstarter also.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I had gotten this idea around November month. It was because of the end of November, JFK, as some people know, JFK was shot in the 22nd of November. The 22nd of November is actually my dad's birthday also.
Okay.
So when it comes around, every time I get reminded of this thing with JFK's assassination, and of course my dad's birthday. My dad right now, he's failing. His health isn't as up as it used to be, but of course he's up there, 83 years old.
Mm.
And this whole idea of mortality and immortality, I was thinking about this idea and a whole idea about JFK. If you think about it, when you're American, the president, there is a father figure also involved as the president of the United States, father of the country, really. I mean, you can't go around. And I was thinking about this idea of if JFK actually did survive, and that's how it culminated, that idea. When I did get it, I said, this is also, we talked about this earlier, this whole idea of how easy it is to, when you get a great idea, if you can pitch it easily, and people get it in their minds, wow, this is really strong. So when I had it, I said, this is really strong, what could I do? I could go to some of the publishers, but I said, stop, no, that's what I've been doing with the Danish Film Institute.
Right.
Nothing negative about them, it's just the system. It's just
so you're going for ownership, in a way, of your own property, develop it on your own.
Yes, on my own, and then ownership, of course, you get a feeling of, well, it's because of the economics, but it actually wasn't. It was really the idea of I am going to do this, and it is going to be produced, no matter what.
Right.
It's going to be up to me. It's not going to be up to anyone else. And that's what's so great about this Kickstarter. They do a little commercial for our Kickstarter.com.
Yeah.
There's a fantastic crowdsourcing for that idea. If you've got a project, a creative project, you come with them with your idea. You pitch it, and of course you're asking for money from people. And what happens is you really ask a lot of your friends and a lot of your relatives, help me out. Those are the first ones. And then if the idea is strong enough, it hopefully will get out, spread out to more.
Yeah, but it's
people.
A lot of work, right, to run a campaign like that.
It's really loads of work.
Right.
When I had at the end of last year, when I decided, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go through Kickstarter first, I decided I want to make 20 pages finished. Mm-hmm. So I have an idea. Also, it's going to be for myself that, can I do this or not? Because it's been a while since I actually did some drawings.
Right.
But when I found out drawing with this blue ink was so wonderful, because I haven't done it in a while. I did it a lot when a teenager, really, like in schools, you draw on books and your homework and all sorts of crazy dinosaur drawings, everything. this was just like, oh, this is the graphic look I want.
Right.
I got that captured. I got the idea captured. I got the rough story captured. I'm going to make it 20 pages. After that, to make this campaign, you also got to make a video. And making a video, of course, since I'm a director, you think, oh, it's a little easy. But I didn't want it to be too polished.
Mm.
But at the same time, it has to get one's passion out. It's
right.
My passion of the idea has got to come across. It's got to be honest.
Is it fully funded by now? The campaign is over.
The campaign is over.
So nobody can contribute right now. I mean,
could
they go there and pitch in?
Yeah, the way it can contribute now is it's actually locked for Kickstarter.
Uh-huh.
But there has been people that I will print extra books. So I've asked people, just give me their email, and then after it's printed, I'll contact the people.
Sure.
Then they can.
We'll definitely link to the Kickstarter campaign underneath this episode.
Yeah, great.
Sure, yeah.
Just to check it out, because what's great about this, the advantage and disadvantage of this whole idea of Kickstarter, I had this idea that once you got it on Kickstarter, I knew they're not going to erase this. So if you're a failure,
right.
It's going to stand in the eyes of everybody.
Yeah, that's
one big failure, you know? So,
right.
And of course, the other side, you're a success.
So you're held accountable.
You're huge. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So I really was fighting teeth and nail, or whatever, nail to what? I can't remember that expression. Anyway, I was really fighting to blood, sweat, and tears to get this campaign to be a success.
Right.
And the way, to get back to your, to answer your question, how much work it is, you wouldn't believe how much. It actually took me, I actually did work about a month just to get the campaign ready. And then when the campaign was going on, the funding itself, that was also 1 month, 30 days.
Right.
You can choose it yourself. You can choose one
a
day
long.
Or you can choose up
to
90 days. They always, the majority say 30 days is about the best.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for it, and that is it's enough for you to keep a pace going, to build something else up, and then also that time frame. Let's say, remember, donate now,
right?
Because it's at the end of the month,
right? And you have to get over that you don't want to be a pain in the butt with everyone on the web, right?
Completely.
So,
I was really afraid of that. But at the beginning, I also decided, listen, I got to spread this out to everybody.
Right.
And what I actually did also, everybody on my Facebook, I sent a direct email, a direct message to every single one.
Mm.
And they were all personal.
Right.
So that was
oh,
my
that's
first
a lot of work. Yeah.
It took so long because Facebook, the way it's made, you can't just do that.
Right.
Of course, thing that I should have done first that I realized I should have made a fan site in Facebook before to say I'm coming. I got this idea.
Right.
Like
to
this,
build
and you build this fan page.
Yeah.
Before your idea.
Oh.
But I
good.
What so what I ended up doing was I actually made three websites at the same time, and anybody that makes a website knows how much work there is in making a website. When you do the Kickstarter, you're actually making a website. So when you make the fan site, that's like a website. And
right.
then I actually have my own website. That's
right.
JFK's website. And I've never made a website before. I've helped some people, but I've never really done it, stood. So that was out all through that 1 month work.
Right.
And then
right.
Because you're also thinking about, you got to write all the slug lines, it's called, or payoffs, and all this wonderful text to pitch the idea. Anyway, the video itself, that took... It's funny as you can. The wonderful thing is, many people told me that's in the business. They said, "Wow, it was wonderful to see how honest you came across," and that meant a lot to me. To really actually be myself,
right.
But to do that, it's just not so easy.
No, I know all about that.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been doing 10 tutorial videos.
Yeah.
It's not. Great fun speaking directly to a camera. Absolutely not. It's something that we have to overcome ourselves to do.
Yeah.
Probably even more so as a Dane, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, being here in Denmark for a long time, that rubs off the bad way. In a bad sense.
That's great.
Standing in the corner.
Standing
like,
in the corner,
yeah.
Watching your shoes. Yeah.
I'm autistic. No, I'm artistic. No, I'm autistic. No, there's
a slight difference, yeah.
Yeah, slight difference. My son, I first had him stand behind the camera and I said, listen, could you help me out? I'm going to tape this and then let's see how it goes. And the interesting, I wanted so much not to read from the text.
The
script. So I wanted so much to look in the camera and just say what I wanted. And just to do that was so damn hard because you have an idea in your in what you're going to say and to build it up just right. And I can imagine right there where like Martin Luther King, how the hell he made that damn speech. It was just so wonderful.
Right.
But to be able to capture that.
Right.
And so I did it and I felt like, you know, it took almost all day to do this performing. It actually ended up being 8 minutes long. So I went back and I said, I'm going to take this by myself because I've got to get that text in my head. So I did it by myself. And what it ended up doing, it was better than when it was with my son. Not that it happens to be with somebody you know or with your son, but there was somebody behind the camera. So I was talking to that person and being able to just talk to the camera alone, that was really difficult. But when I had that person, I was playing up to that person. And there was some, I noticed that I used more of that footage than I used of the other footage. And it's so bizarre because I really thought by myself in the camera, this is going great. And when I looked at it the next day, I said, wow, that was it's real flat. And it was because of that element of that other person's not in the room.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how far are you with the graphic novel?
That's a good question. I'm way behind. I set up a crazy deadline for myself. I set up, I would love to have the book out the end of November here
next week.
Yeah, next week, exactly. The end of November is the 50th anniversary of his assassination, JFK's assassination. It's going to be beautiful.
Right.
But I am telling you, I am not.
Well, 2014
good idea.
Of course, you have all these people who have donated.
Yeah, exactly. People have donated, and they've
expected
something. And of course, I could push things, but the problem is, if I push it, I could easily push it 1 month and get finished. But then there's Christmas, and we all know with Christmas, everything comes up, and everything gets flooded. So it's I'm in a conundrum. As they say, but I'm still working hard to try to get it finished to this deadline. I know it's not going to be that, but maybe it'd be in the middle of November.
So, what kind of takeaways do you have from working on a graphic novel for the first time? I mean, what have you learned so far?
I've learned in the process that I'm doing is completely wrong. I told myself also this process I'm going to do with a graphic novel. Comic book, as you know, you've got the manuscript and you've got rough drawings, and then you finish these drawings and then you ink or paint the drawings, and then you ink afterwards, putting the text on. What I've decided throughout the whole process is I really want to enjoy myself. I have to do this all throughout. Luckily, I have, but when I've had the rough idea, as a synopsis, as the text, I started going out and writing it, finished almost like
a script.
As a film manuscript, exactly, a whole manuscript. But after I did 12 pages of this manuscript, I felt like, wow, I want to do some drawing. Yeah, that's the problem, exactly. And I really thought, I don't want to be a slave to this, system of the whole production, so
right.
to combine them. So I found a process, and I'm sure this is completely wrong. I found this process where I've got a very strong synopsis, so
right.
I know exactly.
So you need,
the
at least
middle,
need that, right?
Yeah, so it's the beginning, middle, of end. I know exactly what's going to happen. So I sketch out a bit like a storyboard. There's rough sketches. But I also implement the dialogue also on
right.
these rough sketches on a little booklet that I'll follow around wherever I go,
right.
and then it's becoming more booklets. But I live away from the town city, and I also have an office in the city. I
Right.
My office at home, my office at the city. And when I travel, I'm traveling on train. And I do these rough sketches on the train, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but when there's a lot of hustle and bustle people around, there's some inspiration, and I can go through some rough sketches really nicely.
Right.
So when I'm at home, I'm doing the finished drawings. And then when I come to this city in my office, I paint the drawings.
Okay. So you finish them as you go along. You
exactly.
don't have rough sketches of everything and then start over. And
and I have it,
right.
and I know that the
you professionals,
bash it. I'm bashing, and I know the professionals do have, because maybe they have deadlines and they have a producer or a publisher.
Okay,
they
yeah,
have
need
to
have
finish
yeah.
rough drawings first.
Right.
Or
how,
rough
long is it? How long is it? This?
I had said 120 pages plus,
yeah.
and I've got, I think it's going to be around 300. Yeah. So
wow.
yeah. So
yeah.
And it could easily be 500. I mean,
yeah.
you know, the way also it's like.
Yeah, that's the beauty
cool.
of graphic novels.
Exactly.
You can
that's
do,
the, yeah.
You can do whatever you
thanks,
want.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I've talked to a few other people also said that. Said,
right.
Don't worry about this. But of course, there's two things I do have to worry about, and that is that I do only have so much money to print the book. I have to have this budget in that respect, and then also I want to, you know, and the time, you know, that I do
time frame,
want
yeah.
to want to get finished. And then also, since it's my first book, I don't want to break my neck on. I can imagine a lot of people haven't done that. Haven't done it before.
Yeah.
But they just started and then they just cannot finish.
Yeah.
But I do have an ending to finish.
Right.
But I must admit, I'm going to have to ask you also. How about this idea of rough sketching? And then you look through it before you start.
Oh, I did the same thing with Stiletto. I had a 120-page blank booklet that I printed out.
Yeah.
Really stupid to print out. It sounds stupid, printing out blank
yeah.
pages, but
yeah.
it had a frame on them.
Yeah.
So I brought that with me everywhere as well and did little sketches in coffee shops and wherever. But I did have a script. I had a full script.
Yeah.
Because I found it a lot easier to change things around in the script,
yes.
rather than having drawn pages and finding out that it doesn't work.
Yes,
I've broken my neck quite a few times on that. I mean,
yeah.
projects that went nowhere because I didn't have a script. I didn't have that ending.
Yeah.
But you at least need a synopsis, a very thorough synopsis, so
yeah.
you know where you're going.
Yeah,
you don't want to just drive off in the middle of the night in a snowstorm, not knowing where you're going.
Right,
that's awful. You just end up in a snowdrift. So
yeah, because in my synopsis, I know exactly the sequences of JFK. Now he's in Las Vegas. JFK.
Right.
Now he's in Hollywood. JFK. Now he travels to Massachusetts.
Yeah.
I know exactly what's going to happen in these places,
but
there is a few some of the details, of course, and those details. Luckily come out when I'm rough sketching.
Right.
And that's also the beauty about it. Where
yeah.
I've never where every section of the production I wanted to be able to be creative.
Mm.
And that's what I wanted not to do. You know, like somebody visited me yesterday and said, Jesus, that's a lot of drawings. Have you gotten tired of them yet? And I said, no, actually not.
No.
There might be an evening where I'm working and I'm just so tired I want to throw up. But that's not like I'm, you know, the next day I'm extremely excited about doing the next drawing.
Yeah.
There's another process that I also noticed that I might be doing wrong, but I kind of think it's real fun, and that is when I do the drawings, I have a rough sketch and a composition of that sketch, but I individually draw where I don't frame it in my drawing. So when I'm drawing the finished drawing, I've got an open space. So when I'm in Photoshop, I'm able to move things around
yeah.
real easy per frame,
right.
instead of drawing with in the old days where you got one sheet of paper
and right.
draw exactly within those borders.
Right.
In the way I'm doing it is I don't, and then I have a freedom in the borders.
Right.
In that sense, and I think that's real fun. But
yeah.
there's no doubt. Maybe I might think otherwise when I get to that point.
Doesn't sound so stupid. I mean, I do the same with a light box.
Oh,
that
okay,
I have
yeah.
my rough sketches, and when I'm sketching, I can, you know, I don't worry so much about the borders because I can always adjust it when I put it on the light box and
yeah.
decide exactly where the the image should be placed within the frame.
Yeah.
So it's not.
So, yeah. So do you rough sketch yours with a colored pencil and then ink afterwards?
I usually rough sketch with just a pencil. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a blue pencil.
Yeah.
And then I put it on the light box and trace it there usually.
Yeah.
And the past couple of projects I've been doing, I've been inking with a pencil, just minor pencil.
Yes.
Because it gives me that freedom that every line is not set in stone. I can erase it if I want. I rarely do, but afterwards I can always adjust the contrast in Photoshop so it looks almost like ink. I find that the big trick is really to cheat your own brain into believing this is, not a big deal.
Right.
I could change it later.
It's interesting because I've painted for many years of my life, and that whole idea of the canvas is frightening for many, and you have to get over it. And the way to get over it is to have a lot of canvases going on at the same time and not worry.
Not bad. Yeah.
Exactly. And not worry about exactly this, and you get all cramped up.
Exactly.
Because you think, this is important, this piece of paper,
It's important, right. You have to take the importance out of it.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you get a free flow.
Right.
Definitely.
So, just to round things up, do you have one piece of advice that you would give to aspiring comics creators who perhaps haven't started their first graphic novel project yet, or comics project?
Yeah, I would definitely. It was important for me to first start, and that was, if you want to start doing something in a graphic novel, you want to start with a comic book or anything, do something that you really love doing. Either you love the subject matter, or you love drawing this particular airplane or this particular car or this particular person,
right,
that you actually love this, because there is an abundance of work. It's just a mountain of work that has to be done.
That's
which
true.
Is a great thing, but I always felt it was the journey.
Right.
You get a wonderful result, but for example, all the films that I've worked on, ocean of hours, and then the result, it's great, that's fun, but it was those ocean of hours that was wonderful to do.
Mm.
So, I've realized that with JFK, that I actually wanted to do. I collect a lot of toy cars, and I love old American cars. 50s, there was these 60s
cars,
and 50s and the early 60s, these particular cars that have a flat design. It's a really interesting design. And I started drawing and said, I really want to do a comic book that has some cars in it. And it just happens to be, this is an idea. Well, it didn't.
The rest of us are trying to avoid drawing cars, but there you go. That's great. You found your little niche.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've never been good at drawing cars. But since I've got these models, what's wonderful about it, because I don't look at photos, I take that model in my hand and I start moving it around. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And of course, I've never thought about that before.
And you get to play with cars too. That's
yes,
great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right.
Craig, it's been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Comics for Beginners podcast. For tutorial videos and more hands-on tips on how to write and draw comics, go to comicsforbeginners.com.